Everyone, to another episode of the Canadian Space Society podcast, Space A. I'm your host, Mahima Kapoor, and today I'm interviewing someone that I truly admire and look up to. Her name is Farah Alibay. She is a Canadian systems engineer currently working at NASA's JPL, or Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Farah was born in Montreal, Quebec, grew up in England, and went to Cambridge, where she got her bachelor's and master's in aerospace and aerothermal engineering. She then got her PhD from MIT in space systems engineering. We are truly delighted to have you on the podcast today, Farah. How are you doing?
Great. How are you? And thank you for having me.
I'm good as well. Super excited to have you today. And I have a bunch of exciting questions upcoming for you. So let's just dive in. I think a great place to start this conversation is to start from the beginning. So how did you first get interested in space?
Well, I was born in the 90s. And so for any of you that, you know, lived through that era, it was the era of with Star Wars and Star Trek, and especially, you know, in the later 90s, there's a movie called Apollo 13 that came out that retold the story of the Apollo 13 astronauts, you know, and the incident that happened on their way to the moon, and how the engineers out in Houston helped them pretty much, you know, overcome the impossible and brought these astronauts back to Earth. And so at the time, I think that's when my passion for space started. And it was really through those movies that I became really fascinated, not just in space exploration, but also in the work that engineers do. Seeing the engineers in Apollo 13 work together to achieve the impossible, to solve really complex problems, that's something that really appealed to me. Now, I didn't really realize that what I was seeing in the movies could really turn into a job. I think I just saw it as a passion and thought, wow, isn't it cool that there's these crazy alien worlds out there? And it was actually later in high school when, you know, I became interested in math and physics and sort of had a propensity for those for STEM and those types of areas, that I put two and two together, that, you know, what I was seeing in the movies and the things that they were doing, that was something that I could potentially achieve too. And that's when I sort of decided to try and pursue that field with sort of the dream of potentially working at NASA one day. Although when I started in all of this, it was more of a, well, this seems like a cool area and a cool place, you know, thing to study. So I just kind of tried it out and saw, you know, thought maybe it'll work out. And it did.
That's awesome. That's super exciting to hear. So I want to ask you, what makes a good systems engineer? What are the finer skills that engineers might need when they're working on such broad skills projects like InSight?
Yeah, that's a really good question because, you know, often when we think of engineers, we think, oh, it's good to be good at math, good at physics, you know, have a good degree and have these really strong technical skills. And yes, that's true. You know, that there's a certain skill set that you have to be an engineer. But I think one of the most important thing is actually to be a good communicator and a good team worker. So when we work on missions like InSight, like Perseverance, you know, these big complex projects, these big missions, you know, there's not a single person on those projects that fully understands every single detail. The reason why these missions are feasible is because we have teams of engineers that together build something that is greater than the individual. And the reason why we can make that happen is because of teamwork, because of collaboration. So, you know, I always tell people on a team, you know, if I'm on a team, I can't teach you how to be a good person. I can't teach you how to listen to others, how to work with others in a cordial way, in a productive way. But I can teach you math, physics, whatever engineering you need to know. So to me, those are really the core fundamental skills that I always encourage people to work on. Are those, the technical will come if your heart is into it. But the, you know, the teamwork and the collaboration is something that has to be worked on from an early age and nurtured in order to become a good engineer.
Yeah, that sounds good. So I mentioned in the intro that, you know, you got your PhD from MIT and you had actually interned at JPL during your PhD. So do you have one highlight from your internship days, like maybe a specific day which really stands out for you and that you still remember today?
Absolutely. So I interned at JPL twice during my PhD. So in the summer of 2012 and the summer of 2013. And the summer of 2012 was particularly special for me because for those of you who are, you know, maybe Mars enthusiasts, you may remember that we landed the Curiosity rover on Mars in that summer. And so I, you know, I was an intern when this was all happening. I, you know, got to go see it, go see the landing in an auditorium with a bunch of other engineers, a bunch of other interns. I was on lab the days leading to that landing and sort of feeling the tense, you know, the tension in the air, but also the excitement. And then, you know, we landed very successfully. So seeing those first few pictures, it was, you know, a big party on the mall after the landing. Everyone was really excited, sharing, you know, images of what was going on. And I got to experience that firsthand as a colleague, right, as an intern. And that, I mean, to me, it's like, there's no better way to sell a place to work than landing something on Mars. But one of the cool things that I remember from that is feeling that looking up to that team. I was seeing, you know, the rover testing that was going on in the Mars yard at the time. And I just thought at the time, wow, isn't that so cool? Like, I really want to work here. This is awesome. These people are achieving the impossible. And now, you know, 6, 7 years later, I've sort of come full circle. Because I'm now part of the Perseverance team that will be landing, you know, and operating the next big rover on Mars. So I often, you know, to me, it's kind of like going from an intern who saw this from an outside perspective and now being part of that next team that's making history happen is quite special for me.
Yeah, that's super exciting to hear about. I can only imagine how much excitement was in the air that day for you as an intern, especially. I mean, I just got excited when I could, you know, send my name on the Perseverance rover. I know they had that, you know, public engagement campaign where people can send their names. So I was just excited to be a very small part of that. But I can imagine what it must be like to be part of the project team and to achieve that. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So my next question for you is a little bit broader. What is the one space problem that you would love to solve or love to see solved within your lifetime? I know you're working on the Mars rover, but is there something specific that you really hope is solved or is learned within your lifetime?
I think, there are so many things out there that I wish we could improve, right? To go from the amount of time it takes to travel anywhere to how we do communication. You know, right now we're pretty limited in terms of where we can go because it just takes so long to get to places like Jupiter and Saturn, and let alone trying to get outside of our solar system. So, you know, on the bright-eyed, wild ideas is solving some of these problems when it comes to both mission design and propulsion. It is something that is of interest and would be pretty awesome in terms of enabling missions. But something maybe a little bit closer to home is the challenges that we have with automation. And, you know, working on the next rover, I'm seeing we're already a huge step between Perseverance and Curiosity in terms of the amount of onboard automation. So when you compare Perseverance and Curiosity, there's already a huge improvement in terms of the amount of onboard autonomy that we're using and how, you know, and we're seeing how that will improve our ability to do science. But there's still so much more we can do. The rover still heavily depends on humans on the ground, analyzing data, making broad decisions, and then sending those up to the rover, which means that it's limited in the amount of exploration it can do in a way, because it needs not only the science team, but the engineers to weigh in terms of what it'll do. One of sort of the keys that I see in terms of augmenting the amount of science that we can do, not just at Mars, but really with any mission, is augmenting our ability to have autonomous systems in space. And that's already being worked, right? There are proposals. Like I said, every time we do a new mission, we get better at it, but there's such a long way to go. And the reason why that's a challenge, by the way, is because of how far these places are actually. So we communicate with our rovers, with our spacecraft, using radio signals. So they go at the speed of light. But when we're talking about talking to Mars, it's so far away that the one way light time trip to get from Earth to Mars is somewhere between, you know, 8 and 12 minutes. So that means that the round trip signal can take up to a half hour, which means that we can't really do real time operations. And that leads us to do this sort of tactical process where we let the rover know what it needs to do. It sends us back data. We analyze it and then give it another plan. But, you know, there's a cycle there. And when we're talking about going out to Jupiter or Saturn, those light time delays get longer and longer. So yeah, I really see autonomy as being a field where we're already putting in a lot of effort. We're already seeing a lot of progress, but there's still sort of a long way to go in terms of places that we could improve and that could give us a lot of science return.
So my next question is something which you feel strongly about is advocating for strong female role models and mentors, and you are a mentor yourself for many young girls. So what is the gap that we need to bridge, if there is one, to get young girls more involved in space and also in STEM in general?
So that's an excellent question. STEM in general currently only really has about 25 to 35% of women, depending on what field you look at and what age range you look at. And so even though, you know, women form 50% of the population, we're underrepresented in those fields. And it's still true today when you talk to a little girl, and, you know, this was particularly true when I was younger, you know, the little girls are never encouraged to be astronauts, to be scientists, to be engineers, right? Even if you look at the toys that are available, and that's changing, and it's changed an awful lot in the past 5 to 10 years, but it's still not the first thing we go to. And I think, in my opinion, having strong role models and people that young girls can look up to is one of the ways that we can help improve this. When I was younger, you know, I told you about the movies that I watched. Well, in Apollo 13, none of these engineers look like me, right? None of them are people that I could have imagined myself in. And so that's actually one of the reasons why it took me so long to realize that NASA could be a place where I belong too, because I never saw that in media. And for me, one of the things that changed actually is that in the late 90s, when Julie Payette went to space, even though we don't look alike very much, she was from Quebec. She was, you know, she spoke French. She was from, you know, she could have been where I'm from. And so to me, that was a realization that, hey, this is just a normal person that's where I'm from. And she's now in space and she's achieved these dreams. And that moment, even though I've never talked to her, I've never met her, seeing her portrayed in the media and talking about her experience is something that allowed me to dream as a little girl. And I value that so much that she served at that role as that role model in addition to everything else that she's done. So, but all that to say that, you know, having people that look like you, having people that you can see yourself in the roles that you might want, is incredibly important in the eyes of younger children. And it's something that I've taken to heart. And I now try to give back to my community by doing talks, by, you know, participating in things like this, by spreading my message, which is that, you know, whatever your dream is, whatever your curiosity is, that there's a place for you in STEM, in aerospace, wherever, you know, wherever it is that you want to be. And yeah, so that, to me, that representation is really important. And people often ask, well, you know, why does it matter that we have a diverse team? Why is that important? Mm-hmm. You know, we've achieved all these things already with the teams that we have, right? Why do we need to improve? Well, because we have big challenges ahead of us. I mean, we've talked about some of these. We're pushing the frontiers of exploration. And what you want when you're, you know, when you're addressing these big challenges is a team that has different points of view, that has different ways to look at the same problem. And often that way of thinking comes from your background. And it's already been shown that diverse teams are, you know, are better at addressing complex problems, because by having a different background, by having a different way of looking at problems, of addressing problems, having a different set of experiences, we can come up with different solutions to the same problem, which is great. That's what you want in a team, is different points of view that are then aggregated to find the best solution. So in a way, you know, I always joke that I give back to my community because, you know, that community has given me so much. But also, it's a little bit selfish, because the more diverse we are in STEM, the more we will achieve, and also the more fun these teams are going to be to work with.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are some amazing insights. And that's kind of a common thread that has come out of this podcast. I find the more people I kind of chat with and interview, everyone says kind of the same thing. You know, they say that, you know, space needs to be more egalitarian because it is for everyone. And also in terms of not only our background, but our skills as well, you know, making space more open to some of the non-traditional skills or academic backgrounds which people might come from. So that's super exciting to hear. Thank you so much for sharing that, Farah. And do you have any final thoughts before we conclude the podcast today?
I think, you know, this is a really great set of questions. Like I said, I hope that hearing a little bit of my story inspires you, makes you realize that whatever it is that you want to do and put your heart to, that you can achieve it. I've certainly taken risks, so I thought I was a little bit crazy along the way. and, you know, let me tell you, there's been so many people that have told me no, that have told me that I couldn't be where I was. Even today, sometimes, you know, I still doubt myself sometimes or get told that I can't do something or other. And what I can tell you is don't let that, you know, put you down. Don't let that stop you. It only takes one yes. It only takes one mentor to help you out there to make it. And so whatever it is that your dream is about, go do it. Go change the world. You know, anyone can do it.
That's awesome. That's very uplifting advice. And I really hope that, you know, the young people that are listening to this podcast, that this podcast is really targeted for, I hope they take something away as well. And you're already a great role model for so many Canadians and so many girls as well. So it was super exciting chatting with you. Thank you so much for being here.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Stay tuned for more exciting episodes from the Canadian Space Society. Bye.